Thank you, Russell. What a great honor to get to be here. And I want to thank this church for the incredible family that you sent to our ministry. To the parents that are here, all the friends that are here, we are the benefactors of a great treasure you invested in their lives and how God is using them. Wow. This young man and his precious wife are being used of God in such major, major litigations, things that literally hold the future of our whole country and what liberties we will or will not have. And I want you to pray for the Ellises every single day. They're in what I call the dogfight. It is just, how many of you are seeing things in America you never dreamed you'd see in your lifetime? It is just dumbfounding how we've got. I didn't think my grandchildren, if the Lord tarried, would see it in their lifetimes. And Russell and Seth and Jonathan and all these dear people, what they're doing is making the difference. I get credit, and I have to tell everybody this, for things that not only I didn't do, I get credit for things I didn't know we did. And people come up to me and thank me. And I have to tell them, boy, I try to work hard, but I promise you, the anointing of God is on these men. And the anointing of God is being blessed through the product. And keep them in your prayers, please. And boy, to the Ellis family, thank you. And to the Tidd family, thank you. They just great, great people honoring the Lord. I want to thank you for the music this morning. Mercy, that was great. I've said this everywhere. I believe in America it should be perfectly legal to shoot a bad choir. You ought to just be able to stand up and put them out of their misery, all right? And you say, why would you say that? Because a choir can dig a hole that no preacher can get out of. And I promise you, boy, that music blessed my heart. All your singing groups and just everything. It was just wonderful. That blessed my heart. If you have your Bibles, please, the book of John, chapter 13. And if you'd stand to your feet, please, for the reading of God's Word. John, chapter 13. This morning, for the next few minutes, I'm asking by the grace of God that you and I would learn a lesson from the life of a man found in Scripture that we don't talk about too much. And yet there's a profound and incredible lesson to be learned from his life. The man's name is Judas. And you say, we're going to learn a lesson from the life of Judas? Indeed. Indeed. Permit me to tell you what the lesson is, then we're going to read the passage of Scripture. Judas was talented. He was gifted. He was smooth. He had a good act. His gifts and his talent and his acts were so good that he spent 3 years with the disciples living together in intimate contact. And when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, not one of them thought Judas. You can have an act that fools everybody, but your act won't fool God. Let's read the story. John chapter 13, starting at verse 21. Here they are at what we oft call the Last Supper. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And those of you who know your scriptures, who would that be? That would be John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. We don't want to be a good act. We want to be real. By the power of your indwelling spirit, we want our lives to be what you've called them to be. Speak to each heart here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Andrew. You guys couldn't figure out it's Judas? You've been with them for 3 years. When Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," you know what the Bible says? Each man there said, "Is it me?" Not one of them could connect the dots and say, "Oh yeah, I knew all along, Judas." They couldn't do it. He had the money. He was the treasurer. He held the bag. And how many of you know, you don't give the money to somebody you don't trust. And yet his talent and his ability and his act was so good that only Jesus and God knew it was an act. You know what's tragic? The greatest acting is not done in Hollywood. It's not done on a stage in Broadway. The greatest acting is done in churches, where we can come in and pretend to be better than we are. Judas, boy, what a great act. What a great talent. But all that it was an act. Now Peter would say, wait a minute, David. He was there when we fed the 5,000. He would have been there and handed out the loaves and fishes, and he'd have been there when we picked up the fragments, and he was there when Jesus walked on the water, and he was there. He was with us when we went out, and even the demons were subject to us. Do you understand? His act fit perfect. But the tragedy is it wasn't real. It was just an act. Have you ever pretended to have it together better than you really have it together? Have you ever made part of it just an act? I told them in Sunday school this morning, I think we forget kids are God's little spies. They see us, and then they see us at church. And all across America, I have young people come up to me now, and they say, "Oh, Brother Gibbs, we just wanted to come and see you and hear you." And I say, "Tremendous, tremendous, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm not in church now." I said, "You're not what? Young man, what are you doing? Young lady, what in the world?" And you know what they almost uniformly tell me? "Brother Gibbs, let me explain something. When we went to church, it was one way, but then we went home. And what was at home wasn't at church. And pretty soon we learned church is an act. You just go and pretend. And we got tired of the act." Now, boy, I tell them, "Oh, boy, please don't do this to yourself. I'm begging you. It wasn't right if it wasn't real at home. But you just cannot understand what you're doing to your life and to yourself when you separate yourself from God's people." Can I ask you this morning, are you real? Am I real? Or is this just a good act? A lady ran up to the actor, Robert Redford, was in the lobby of a grand hotel, and he was getting on the elevator, and the lady ran up to him and said, are you Robert Redford? Are you the real Robert Redford? I love what he said. He said, no, I'm not the real Robert Redford. He said, the real Robert Redford is when I'm up in my room alone, because then there's no act. He said, this down here is just an act. Is the real David Gibbs what you see on this platform? Or unthinkably, is this just an act? By the grace of God, we're called to be real. Amen. And by the grace of God, we can be real. Yes. And by the grace of God, I don't want somebody to be able to say, just like Judas, what a good act. What a good act. How many of you want to be real? Hold your hand up, would you? I want you to write three keys down. You already know these three keys. They're found in Scripture, but I want you to write them down. If we're going to be real, here comes the first key. Number one, the Bible says you have to humble yourself in the sight of God. James chapter 4, verse 10. Now, do not write down in your notes, humble yourself, because that's not the command. The command is humble yourself in the sight of God. When's the last time you went to God and said, search me? As the psalmist said, see if there be some wicked way in me. You humble yourself in the sight of God, who knows every thought you've had. Every emotion, every fantasy, every passion, every deed, every word. When is the last time you bowed in front of Him and said, I want to humble myself in your sight and I want to get clean? Turn on heaven's flashlight. Look in every corner of my heart. Now, here's my problem, and I think some of you have the same. I can see what's wrong with other people. I can see real good what I think they ought to change. But God's called me to change me. And the tragedy is we want to change everything in America. We want to change Washington. We want to change our state capitol. We want to change our city council. But we don't want to change. Boy, the way you change a nation is by God's people changing themselves. And for us to be what we're supposed to be. How many of you remember the name Lester Roloff? Hold your hand up, would you? Dear, dear man of God. I was doing a trial for him, and he called me, and he said, I want you to come down to my room. And Brother Roloff had this incredibly annoying habit. He called hyper early in the morning. I mean, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd call. And he'd always say the same thing. I didn't get you up, did I? And I'd say, no, just sitting here waiting for you to call. Oh. He said, come on down to my room. Man, I'm down to his room. I don't think it's 4 a.m. yet. And he said, David, we're in trouble. He said, you know and I know. We're no match for everything the devil's throwing at us. And so he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to get in that corner right over there, and I'm going to get in this corner right over here. And he said, don't come out of that corner till you're clean. And I won't come out of mine till I'm clean. Now, no one had ever said that to me. I'm like, do what now? He said, I don't want you to get cleaner. I want you to get clean. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, what's the next word? Cleanse us from what's that? All. When's the last time you humbled yourself before God and God clean from all unrighteousness. Now, you'll never do that by accident. That isn't something that one morning you'll just wake up and you say, well, it must have happened in the night. I don't know. No, no, no. The bottom line is, it starts with you, with me, humbling ourselves before God. Well, Brother Gibbs, I do that, but I'm perfect. In fact, I don't even know why I'm in church this morning. I'm so perfect. Can I remind you, if you have that thought, I promise you, you got something to repent of. Because in every one of our lives, boy, the devil masterfully makes sure that we get comfortable with things that aren't right. And by the grace of God, we get to humble ourselves in the sight of God. Now, you can humble yourself in my sight, and you won't have any trouble fooling me. Some of you might even fool the preacher. Probably not as many as you think, but some might. Nobody fools God. God knows. I love what Moody, and they say Spurgeon oft did the same thing. Moody would say, do not leave here till you're clean. Whoa. God, I don't want to be sort of clean. I don't want to be somewhat clean. Because in the measure I'm not clean, I'm just an act. I'm just pretending to be. God, by your grace, I want to be clean. Write the second key down. Number one, humble yourself in the sight of God. Number two, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible's very, very clear. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit of God. But permit me to tell you, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. There's no such thing as sort of in the Spirit, somewhat in the Spirit. We're either walking in the Spirit or we're walking in the flesh. And I want to submit to you, we have all been guilty of walking in the flesh. Now, he says you'll know when you're walking in the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, because he said there is a fruit that is manufactured when you do that. And he says, you will know by this fruit being in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here's the fruit. Now, be ready to mark your Bibles at this point, please. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is. Please let me tell you what it does not say. It does not say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. You either have all of these if you're walking in the Spirit or you're not walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Can you say, boy, last week, that was me. At home, this was me. At work, this was me. Now, we're commanded to be that. We're not just commanded to be better than what's around us. We're commanded to be this. And if we're not this, we're an act. I was with my wife, and we were in our motorhome. And we were at a church, and the church sat up on kind of a hill, and their parking lot was very steep going up. And we parked way down by the road so we wouldn't block anybody. And the service was to start at 7 o'clock. And I don't like to be late for services. That just really troubles me. And so I got stuck on the phone, and my wife said, honey, the service is in 15 minutes. I said, I know, I'll hurry. Well, I didn't get off the phone, and now we hear the first song being sung. And my wife said, honey, they've started. We got to get up there. I said, I know, and I've got to go, man. I hung up. Now, to get out of our motorhome, you got to go down these steps that extend out, and they're kind of wobbly. And my wife has a bad back and a bad knee, and she's trying to go down those steps. I said, come on, hurry up. You're making us late. Hurry up. Don't you all look at me like that. Now we're going up this hill, and it is a steep hill, and I'm saying, come on, hurry up, we got to go, come on, you're making us late. She said, I'm trying. Now, my wife is just so easy, so gracious. All the way up that hill, I squawk at her. Now we get to the front door, the usher opens the door, and I said, right this way, sweetheart. It's time for the act to begin. Oh, what a delight to be here. Praise the Lord. You say, where was all of that getting out of the motorhome and coming up the hill? Well, it was nowhere to be found. Now the pastor invites me up to the platform, and I'm sitting up there. And boy, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, you just treated your wife contemptibly. Horrible. And now I suppose you want me to help you. And I thought, what's the matter with me? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's a Judas act. So good, we get comfortable pulling it off. Boy, I had to stand up in front of those people and say, I didn't treat my wife coming up here. Didn't treat her right. And it wouldn't be right for me to stand here and just put on an act. God says, I want you, number one, to humble yourself in my sight. Number two, I want you to walk in the Spirit. Where we live, there's a lot of road construction, and we had a spot where six lanes were going down to one lane. And how many of you know rush hour and road construction can try your faith? It can just do a number on it. And there's road rage, and people are mad and honking at each other. And finally, we're up next, we're going to be ready to go through. And I'll never forget this. A blonde-haired lady in a Corvette convertible, a red convertible, came flying up the berm. Stones and dust flying everywhere. And slams on the brakes. She fishtails wild and stops right next to us. She jumped everybody. Beeps her horn and goes like this. She wants in. Not in this lifetime. No. You cheated. So you know what I decide to do? The first thing I'm going to do is lie. I'm going to pretend I don't even see her. How many of you all have ever done that? Look at all that. I mean, you're not even there. Now she starts inching over, and I thought, man, I am made for this. You want to bend metal? You say, what happened to love, joy, peace? This is rush hour. Man, I stuck my bumper on the car in front of me. I don't think you could get a piece of typing paper between there. Now, my wife did something I wasn't ready for. She reached over, she touched my arm, and she said, how about letting her in for me? You crazy woman? When I sin, you sin. She leaned over by me and she said, your two granddaughters in the back seat are watching. Boy, and I looked and there's those little eyes the size of silver dollars. I wonder if your kids would say, Grandpa, Dad, they walk in the Spirit. Or is that just an act we put on when we get to church? Wow. I let the lady in, and I got to confess, then I got mad all over again. Because I let her in, and she looked at me, and she had this bun, and she gave that hair a little whoop-de-doo, and then she didn't say thank you, so I got mad all over again. That night, I thought, what's the matter with me? Am I real? Are you real? Boy, you can have an act so good it fools the disciples, but it never fools God. Boy, the first thing you got to do is humble yourself in the sight of God. The second thing you got to do is walk in the Spirit. Write the third thing and we're done. You got to not grieve the Holy Spirit and you got to not quench Him. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? It means to hurt Him. It means to put pain on Him. To grieve Him. One of the most wonderful things happens the day you get saved. Oh, it's marvelous. When you get saved, number one, your sins are forgiven. Number two, heaven becomes your home. And number three, the Bible says the very Spirit of God moves into you. Tabernacles in you. Do you understand? The Spirit of God is in you. And God says, don't you hurt Him. Don't you grieve Him. And whatever you do, don't quench Him. The quench means to try to take the effect of what they want away. Man, you have a fire, you want heat, but then you don't want it anymore, so you want to quench the fire. God says, don't you quench Him. I was invited to a men's meeting at a great church. This couple here is from this church. It's in the Nampa, Boise, Idaho area. And the preacher there, when he invited us to the men's meeting, he said, now we're going up in the mountains, there'll be a lot of men there. And he said, Brother Gibbs, they're very manly men. And I said, right. He said, no, I mean manly. And I'm like, what are we, girls? I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't worn a dress in a long time. I don't know. What are you talking about? He said, well, I just want to tell you they're manly men, a lot of manly activities. Well, I just wasn't ready for what. These guys were tough. Whoa, were they tough. The first event at the men's meeting is a boxing match. And they got paramedics there to stitch up guys' eyebrows. And these guys are knocking the fire out of each other. And a guy gets knocked down and they say, get up, you sissy, get up. And I'm like, man, lay down, quit. And they said, Brother Gibbs, don't you want to be part of the boxing match? And I'm like, oh, no. I said, my thing is sumo wrestling. That's what I do. Yeah. When you want to do tummy bumping, then I'll be in, all right? Boy, that's amazing. The second thing they did was a paintball face-off. Now, I've never seen this. Man, they line up facing each other with paintball guns turned on high, and they shoot at each other. Pow, pow, pow. Guys get knocked. They go, oh, oh. And I'm like, man, I don't know. They killed that guy. Look at that, man. We'll probably bury him up here. I don't know. And then if you survive that, they move you in closer. And then closer. And it's pow, 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 pow. And while I'm watching that, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that pain you're watching is nothing compared to the pain you can put on the Holy Spirit when you grieve Him. Pow! I know I shouldn't watch that, but God says, stop it. Stop it. We got to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And number two, walk in the Spirit. And number three, grieve not the Spirit. Now Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. And so don't sit here and say, boy, that's right, I got to do better. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do any of this. But by the grace of God, we can do all of this. We can be everything God has called us to be. I wonder how much has been an act in your life and mine where you say, God, I don't want it to be an act. By your power, I want it to be real. I'm going to humble myself in your sight. Cleanse me. Number two, I want to walk in the Spirit. That's a command. And I don't want to walk in the flesh. Boy, number three, I sure don't want to hurt the Holy Spirit that you've put in me. Judas, great act. Boy, you must have been some talent. You fooled everybody for 3 years, but you didn't fool Jesus and you never fooled God. And Judas, it's not an act that counts. It's not talent that counts. It's being real that counts. That's what truly matters in our lives. This morning, if you're here and you know Christ, oh, my friend, humble yourself in His sight. What a privilege. If you know Christ, walk in the Spirit. If you know Christ, don't grieve the Spirit. If you're here and you say, I'm not sure heaven is my home, I've got wonderful, wonderful news for you. You don't have to leave here doubting anymore. You can absolutely leave here based on promise in the Word of God that will not change for eternity. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know heaven's your home. And for the first time, you can stop being an act. You can be real. Boy, lately, I've had to keep reminding myself, stop it, David. Don't be an act. I tell you this story in closing. I was doing a trial for Brother Roloff, who I mentioned earlier. And it was just a great day in court. Everything was going our way. I mean everything. Judge ruling our way, jury nodding at us. It was just a good day. When I walked out, everybody came up to me and said, oh, that was great, that was great. And I said, oh, thank you, thank you. Now Brother Roloff came out and he said, I got one question, David. I said, sure. He said, was that God in there or was that you? I said, what now? He said, was that God through you or was that just you? You know what my first thought was? Don't rain on my parade. He said, David, if what was in there is just you, we got nothing. But he said, if what's in there was God, we got everything. He said, be careful, your talent can help you do it, and it'll still be just you. I was watching these precious singers. Was that God through them, or was that just them and their talent? This magnificent choir, oh, what a blessing. Is that God through them, or is that just a good act? Unsaved people can sing beautifully. But the key is we're not called to be an act. We're called to be real. He said, I want you to answer that question for me tonight, David, but don't do it now, because he said, I'm afraid if you just do it at the flip right now, you'll say, oh, that was God. He said, I want you to think about it and come tell me. Boy, the more I thought about it, I thought, most of what I did in there, I never talked to you about, Lord. Most of what I did in there is just what I know how to do. And God, I don't want to live that way. I want to be real. This morning, a great lesson to be learned from the life of Judas. By the grace of God, don't be an act. Father, thank you. Oh, these wonderful people, this gracious church. God, we want to be what you've called us to be. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, I know the Lord is my Savior, but boy, God spoke to my heart this morning. And I don't want to be an act. I want to be real. My heart was challenged as a Christian this morning. Hold your hand up right now. Hold it high. God spoke to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Take your hands down. I wonder if there's one here that would let me pray for them. I'm not sure heaven is my home, but I want it to be. I want to know if this were my last day on planet Earth, that by God's grace, my sins are forgiven. Jesus is my Savior. Heaven's my home. Brother Gibbs, remember me in prayer. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. But oh, how I want to pray for you. Now, this will take some integrity. It'll take some honesty, some honor. David, I don't want to go to hell. Maybe everybody here thinks you're saved. Maybe nobody does. It doesn't matter what the act is. David, remember me. I want to know my sins are forgiven. Remember me in prayer. Slip your hand up right now, just high enough where I can see it. Is there one anywhere? Oh, please permit me to pray for you, my friend. Anyone, anywhere. God bless you back there. God bless you. I remember when my wife raised her hand. I'll never forget what she said. She said, you mean it's a gift? She said, I've been trying to earn my way to heaven, and now you tell me it's a gift. It is the gift of God. Anyone else, remember me in prayer, please. Father, you saw our hands. More importantly, you saw our hearts. As we open this altar now, may we be bold. What a privilege to do business with you. I pray we'll do what's right, because we'll never do what's right when we leave if we don't do what's right right now. In Jesus' name, let's all stand together.